From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Hi, it's Chloe. August 16th. 10 in health, the one that made me reread the abstract, is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from New Atlas. Mitsubishi is making this Pininfarina designed e-crossover for Australia. Mitsubishi is launching a new electric crossover, designed by Italian design house Pininfarina, in Australia later this year. The company currently has a limited lineup of EVs globally, but this new model marks an expansion of their offerings. The crossover's design is being touted as a highlight, with Pininfarina's signature style giving it a sleek and sporty look. While details on the vehicle's specifications and performance are still scarce, it's clear that Mitsubishi is trying to make a statement with this new model. The fact that it's being launched in Australia first suggests that the company is targeting this market as a key region for its heavy growth. It's worth noting that Mitsubishi's current EV lineup is relatively small, so this new model is a significant addition. However, it's unclear if it will be enough to compete with the likes of Tesla and other established players in the EV market. The exact release date and pricing for the new crossover have not been announced, but Mitsubishi has confirmed that it will be available in Australia later this year. Next, second from Science Alert. Popular aesthetic treatments promise rejuvenation, but the evidence may tell a different story. The review that just came out isn't a new clinical trial, it's a systematic look at 136 papers on fillers, lasers, microneedling, PRP, and similar procedures. The authors built a 22-point checklist to see whether any study showed real biological change in skin, not just a smoother appearance. Only 34 of those papers could be scored, and 26 of them, about three-quarters, fell into the inadequate evidence bucket. No study hit the 6-point cutoff the team set for true rejuvenation. The highest clinical score was 4, and the lone 5-point study was done on cells in a dish. What the authors found is that most research focuses on collagen production, while deeper markers, cellular organization, gene activity, DNA damage, or functional improvements, are rarely measured. Small sample sizes and lack of objective controls further limit confidence. The difficulty of translating ancient Greek and Latin into modern English is compounded because the words being translated here are used in a technical sense by the ancient authors, because they're making fine distinctions between difficult concepts, such as types of emotion, and also because the available evidence is quite limited, and even conflicting in some regards. So the takeaway is simple. These treatments can make skin look younger, and some do boost collagen, but we don't yet have solid proof that they actually reverse the biology of aging. Up next, third from Stoicism. Philosophy as a way of life. The Stoic taxonomy of anger. And then, fourth from Chad's weather blog. Local weather history. July 28-29, 1896 severe storms and significant flash flooding. Hey, so you know how we've been seeing a lot of heavy rain fall in the area lately? Well, it turns out that this isn't the first time we've seen something like this. There was a major flash flood event back in July 1896 that's actually quite similar to what we're seeing now. The pattern was the same, a hot upper ridge with a lot of instability and lift from different weather systems. This led to repeated rounds of severe thunderstorms and flooding. It's worth noting that this pattern lasted for 13 days, which is a long time for this kind of weather to stick around. The rainfall totals from July 28-29, 1896 were actually quite impressive, with up to 12 inches in some areas. This caused a lot of damage, including washed out roads, flooded creeks, and even a tornado that tracked through Huntington County. The conditions were so hot and humid that there were reports of heat deaths and illnesses in the area. It's interesting to see how this event compares to the flooding we saw in June 2008 and other similar events in the area. The fact that we're seeing a similar pattern now is definitely a concern, and it's possible that we could see flash flood emergencies issued for our eastern counties if this pattern continues. Next, fifth from Chromia Recuil. How do you ask an LLM a question? LLMs often sound sure but get the facts wrong. When you ask them about RCA's analysis of U.S. health spending, they misquote numbers, repeat debunked arguments, and claim contradictions that don't exist. The models tend to concede a point, then spin a counterargument that either repeats the original claim or ignores the author's own rebuttals. In the example, Claude understates RCA's IC gap, invents fragile critiques that RCA already addressed, and cites a study already shown to be flawed. Because they lack true understanding, they can sound confident while providing little real insight. A careful check of the original data is still the safest way to get an accurate answer. Up next, sixth from Sin's Room. Your friends might be keeping you single. I'm going to give you the quick take on what the piece is really saying. The core idea is that some friendships thrive on drama. You know, the ones that show up when you're in a breakup, a mess, or feeling stuck. Those friends are great at dissecting texts, pointing out red flags, and giving you a lifeline in a crisis. The catch is that when your romantic life moves into a calm, healthy place, the rescue role they've been playing fades, and they often don't have the experience to help you navigate the quieter, more stable season. Because of that, it's easy to start pulling the same patterns into your relationship, keeping the drama, the constant analysis, the urgency, just because that's the language your friends know. The article warns that this can lower the quality of a good partnership, simply to keep the friendship dynamic alive. The takeaway? When your love life settles, check whether your friends are still adding value or just echoing the old crisis mode. If they're stuck in the survivor mindset, you might need to set new boundaries, seek advice from people who model healthy relationships, and give yourself space to grow beyond the drama they're used to. And then, seventh from Phys.org. Nature has spent billions of years fighting bacteria. I could help us learn its secrets. Researchers are exploring the potential of tiny viruses that infect bacteria to combat antibiotic-resistant infections. These viruses, known as bacteriophages, have evolved over billions of years to develop strategies to outsmart bacteria. To tap into their secrets, scientists are turning to artificial intelligence to analyze the complex interactions between bacteriophages and their bacterial hosts. I can help identify patterns and mechanisms that could inform the development of new treatments. Initial studies have shown promise, but further research is needed to fully understand the potential of these viruses and how I can aid in their study. Next, 8th from Science Alert. A crucial part of the brain's memory center seems to shrink in people with depression. It's long been known that depression has links to dementia and also specifically to Alzheimer's disease, but exactly how depression and cognitive decline may interact with one another remains unexplained. Now, scientists appear to have discovered a new piece of the puzzle, even if it's a piece that opens up plenty of new questions. In a study published in Translational Psychiatry, researchers found people with depression showed reduced volume in a part of the brain that's essential for memory processes, the hippocampus. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyflow.com.